Hey, this is Megan Rapinoe, and I'm Sue Bird. We've decided to turn our crazy IG live show into a podcast for your listening pleasure. Enjoy the show. A Touch More.
New episodes of A Touch More drop Tuesday only on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Light years is so fucking crazy to me. It's so crazy. Light years is so fucking crazy to me. It's so crazy.
Bonte Hill
on the Light Years podcast. So beyond that, beyond growing the beard, what have you?
Man, bike riding. I watched everything on Netflix. I just spent 15 minutes watching that dumbass show 90 Day Fiance with my girl. I said, all right, I can't do this, man. I'd rather go read a book. and just work it.
You'd rather engage in the same old MJ LeBron debate on the timeline.
Oh my Lord. Oh my God. I get sucked into it every time. Like Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy, texted me yesterday. He goes, why do we always get sucked into the Frisco debate? Or the James Harden stuff. It's just like because we're bored. Like I got nothing else to do but staring at Twitter. I'm kind of tired of Instagram.
I have another theory on it. It's like there's very few truths in life, and like it challenges like a basic truth of yours. Or like it's so hard to not say like you know you shouldn't engage that shit, and yet it's still like no, you really want to tell me how like in your case like how to. How
or what's appropriate, like no, you know.
I mean, Andy and Sam, it's just funny how everybody like they get big mad over this stuff. Like the Last Dance documentary exposed a lot of people. Like, first of all, I thought it was ridiculous. Like, look, I love Michael Jordan, I think he's a GOAT. But folks are out there putting out outfits, you know, 1 o'clock, like I'm wearing this for the Jordan doc. It's like, all right, bro, chill, man. Like, you don't need to wear your J's during the documentary. I'm wearing sandals, dog. Like, relax. And then you got the LeBron, the LeBron sexuals, who are just absolutely insane right now, discrediting everything Michael Jordan's doing. Then you got Laker fans. It was just fun to watch the timeline more so than the documentary at times, just to be like, people are losing their minds. So, I mean, I'm doing the same thing you guys are doing, man. Basically working from home remotely, trying to get some workouts in, enjoying this hot ass sun that we've gotten recently in the Bay Area. Been going to the park and the beach. My girl lives right by the beach. So we kind of social distance and just chill, try to get some fresh air and do the little things in life, man. But boy, I'm missing sports like you guys are. That's for sure.
You gotta come through with a podcast. You guys stopped doing the podcast with Shasky. That's you gotta get that up.
I mean, I'm more impressed that he's able to pump out 3 hours a day on the air. I listen,
Bonte,
I check in 10 to 1 every now and then, few days, and
he's going. Mean,
you guys have run through pretty much all of Bay Area sports history,
dude. It is amazing that we haven't got laid off yet, and cross my fingers that doesn't happen. Seriously, no joke. When this happened, I was like, right, how the hell are we going to get through summer? Here we are. June's coming up, and it looks like the NBA is going to come back. Yeah. NHL's. We played a breaking news sounder for the NHL today. That's the first time in sports talk radio history that anybody played a breaking news sounder for hockey. Like, seriously, it was just – that's how bad it is. Now, thankfully, the NFL and – has had the draft and free agency and stuff like that. And the Niners have given us some content, but again, it's been nice to take a little break from the Jimmy G stuff, but yeah, it's crazy times, man. It's like, but at the same time, fellas, like we have had fresh content. Like you can get into debates about old stuff. You can get into recency bias about the Warriors and Steph Curry, and that stuff will forever move the needle, man, because people are Steph maniacs. They're Warrior maniacs now. The Draymond stuff with all the smoke podcasts, that was 3 days. I was like, thank you, Draymond. That was 3 days ago.
It's like a week.
Seriously. Because, like, people have, like, it's funny how some of the Warrior fans have shifted from saying that Draymond's a heartbeat of the team to, like, get his ass up out of here. We're sick of you, triple single. Like, it is fascinating, the calls we get. And it's all different from, like, Twitter to the phone call to the text line in 95.7 The Game. You guys know that going into the 95.7 The Game studios. But, I mean, we're doing what we can, man. And I think we're providing some normalcy for a lot of people out there who have been laid off and who are working from home and stuff like that. So that's been pretty cool.
That's
Definitely. Let's go on the Draymond stuff, actually. That's one of the things I'd written down here.
why are you shaking your head, Andy?
Oh, God. Talk about one of the people that wants to get him out of here. Here we go. Here goes Sam.
Well, no, so, like, I'll give Bonte the rundown here. So, like, fundamentally, Andy and I have different perspectives on this one. Andy's a Giants fan. He wants to give him the 15-year Brandon Belt deal, not even thinking
Bonte's
about the
even
future.
Got a Giants shirt on.
That's a dry pit old, baby.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting here. It's like, I love Draymond. He was the second best player on the Warriors until they got KD. I mean, it's really hard to overstate how valuable he was. I'm just looking at reality of the injuries, the mileage, and I mean, he's little. He's for a big man, 6'6", big man is not supposed to last forever. So I'm looking at it from like the Bill Walsh, like if they can get out of this right now, they might be better suited. Where you come out on this?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to lie to you guys. I was a little surprised that the Warriors offered him that extension. And you know what? Draymond, to his credit, was like, you know what? Let me get this $25 million a year now. Let me sign this deal now. Because we talk about this all the time. You imagine Draymond Green not signing that extension and playing out this year as a free agent on that Warriors roster.
He might have murdered Jordan Poole.
Mid-level exception is what he would have signed for next year.
I mean, he may have gotten $12 million a year. He may have got his contract cut in half. Maybe. Yeah. So
I'm just trying to imagine him like with those dudes not making the plays and he's just going there like, you're costing me money.
Because contract,
Oh, it would have been bad.
Yeah.
It would have been awful. So, to his credit, he took that deal, which is smart, maximizing his money. And look, to his credit, every contract he signed, it's basically been a pay raise for him. When you look at his career and look at all deals he signed. So, I think you got to run it back at least 1 year with Draymond Green, with Clay and Steph healthy, to see what he does, because there's been a lot of slander thrown his way. And I'm eager to see what type of Draymond Green we see next year, because look, Draymond has always thrived when people doubt him, when people hate on him, when they say he can't play anymore. And Draymond's been bumping his gums. So he's like, going into next season, I feel like he has the most pressure on him on the Golden State Warriors. Like, Wiggins is Wiggins, right? He's got the big deal. Yeah. But everybody's like, look, just stand in the corner, shoot, play some defense. We'll live with you. Steph and Clay, I think they're Teflon out here. They can do no wrong, the Splash Brothers. And so then you get Draymond where, look, he's got a chance to prove that, look, these three championships that I helped this team win, it wasn't a fluke. I still got some game. I can still play at a high level. And you saw glimpses of it, even though it was far. Like, you didn't see many of it this year, but there was like a half against AD, right, when they played the Lakers and he got kicked out. I was like, oh, crap, Draymond's actually playing today. And then, of course, he gets kicked out over anything. And it was like, okay, Draymond wanted to get kicked out of this game.
Right.
He's got a party to go to or whatnot. So I think you give him one more year. But I think you'd be stupid to not think that the Warriors are looking at Draymond Green and or Wiggins as pieces to move for another superstar in the future. So I think you got to run it back with Draymond one more time. You owe him that at least one more year. And I think this organization is smart enough to move off of him if he does kind of flounder next season.
I'm curious to know what the fans think. Twitter's a little bit different from people that call in on the radio, like you said. Like Sam and I hear a lot of different stuff versus when we come in the studio versus what we see in the tweets. So I'm curious what not the normal fans, but kind of maybe more the louder fans.
Radio is always going to be more of a consensus than Twitter,
right?
It's like a more broad, like actual pulse.
It's funny. Like for example, Garoppolo, right? I throw a poll up on Twitter about Garoppolo, and I'm like, Brady or Garoppolo? And it's like 80-20, keep Garoppolo on Twitter. But we go into the studio, and you get the texts and the calls, and it's like, get rid of Garoppolo. So it's kind of the same thing with Draymond Green. I think it's flipped to where 65% want Draymond Green up out of here. They're tired of him. They're blaming Draymond Green for KD leaving. They're blaming Draymond Green for they even brought up 2016. They're like, screw game seven. What he did in game seven, he cost us a championship. So I think it's like 65% on the radio side. People want Draymond up out of here. And it is crazy how
You ever notice how like Draymond criticism, it's like every relationship you've been in where they're like, he cost us KD and they're like bringing up shit from the past. Like, and you cost us 2016 and you did this. It's like always like that. With Draymond.
Go ahead, Andy.
Just got to bring back the old stuff. That's just every time, you know, I just got to bring it back.
Every time, like LeBron James didn't go snitch to Kiki Vandeweghe and get his way there. And look, I tell people all the time, it's like Kaepernick and the Seattle Seahawks NFC Championship. If it wasn't for Cap, Niners wouldn't have been in the game. If it wasn't for Draymond Green, the Warriors may have gotten blown out in Game 7 at home. Draymond damn near willed them to that win. So it's like, and it's funny too. The radio heads are funny because when KD got hurt against the Rockets, right? The fan base the next day were calling, it was good to see the old Warriors back. Oh, you know, KD, this and they. But then all of a sudden, KD leaves. Draymond averages a quote-unquote triple single. And it's like, he cost us KD, man. How can he do this? So radio fans are just, they flip-flop harder than anybody.
But, you know, I ask because it's always fun because that's just fans, man. That's just people. Like, I can't even hate on that because that's just when you're like a diehard, like all of us are diehard fans. And I'm sure a lot of us were way more emotional, I think, before we got into the less emotional side of like podcasting or radio. Right. You just go crazy, man. I'm just like, dude, fuck Jimmy G. So I'm more like with the Warriors, I'm a little more level headed. But like I'm watching that Super Bowl, I'm like, oh, Jimmy G, that's. Dude, Super Bowl Finals MVP, all this shit, or Super Bowl MVP, all this shit, and then he misses that throw.
Bosa, dude.
Not, nope. And then he misses that throw to Sanders by like 5 feet, and I'm just saying, I'm just miserable, right? And you're just like, fuck this guy, do this all the, you know. I kind of look at it, and I'm watching the Warriors, and I see the way that they lose, and I feel like I should be more pissed, but I watch the way they lose that season. I'm just like, you know,
right? I was just saying, way against Toronto, I was like, eh. You know, it's like, you know what it is if they were healthy. We were going to get a game seven if Clay's healthy. But I work with Shasky, right? Butcher Boy. You guys know Butcher Boy. He's a super fan when it comes to the Niners. They beat the Packers 37-8 on Sunday Night Football. We get a call. Some dudes complaining about Jimmy G's accuracy.
Oh, now, that was Sam's wedding day, too. I think it was Sam calling in. I think that was Sam calling in.
Might have been Sam, right? Sam.
Yes, I do. Sam who calling in about it off, Jimmy. Right? Yeah.
He shut it off. Jimmy's like 14-20 for like 250. And the caller calls in and I'm like, we're not doing this today. They just won by 30. And Shashi goes, Vontae, he's got a point. I just don't know about Jimmy G. They beat the Vikings, right? Jimmy G throws what? Two passes in the second half, I forget. Shashi comes on the airwaves and he's just destroying Jimmy G. He's like, bro,
I heard that one.
Yeah. They're going to the NFC Championship. But that's and Shasky's learning, but that's the difference with the fans. That's why I just kind of laugh with Shasky sometimes. I'm like, bro, chill. They're going to the NFC Championship.
By the way, you could tell Shasky grew up on Montana and Young because like the quarterback standard is just untenable. Like I always say this to Andy. It's like any point guard that has to come after Steph. Is just it's not going to be fair to them at all with the Warriors.
Oh my lord, I feel sorry for that point guard after Steph. Yeah. Oh my, I'm already feeling for him.
Like the point guard shoots like 38% or 40% from three, and we're just like fucking guy can't shoot.
Yeah, he's not Steph though.
Yeah. He's not Steph though. Yeah, it's can't almost shoot. Like the Warriors need to bring in a Bimbo Coles type after Steph Curry. Let that player run for like two years, and then bring in another star so we can have a bridge. Between Steph and that next point guard.
Just to humble the fan base, to like remind them exactly. What reality looks like.
Exactly. Bring in Bobby Serra again or Vontigo Cummings and they go get a star because whoever fills those shoes up, man, it's going to be trouble for them with this fan base. But, you know, and that's the thing. We were talking about the Niners just now. Like, I remember I went on the air before the season. I said, you know, Steiny and Guru were like, you know, if they go 8-8, that's progress. I said, damn, this organization has fallen that far. Mediocre 500 football is now acceptable in this market. I said, this is a standard that the Niners have. It's Super Bowl or bust. I don't give a damn who's coaching. Fan base got on me. They ripped me to, how can you say that? And this and that. by the end of the season? What were they saying? We choked the Super Bowl because of Jimmy G. We had a Super Bowl team. But I was like, it's the same fan base who was willing to accept 8-8.
I was okay with 9-7. Who do you think wins the title next? Niners, Warriors. Actually, the A's might have the best shot at it. Or Giants were the last one.
Shit,
we can't take credit for it. Sam comes up with this stuff.
We may not get baseball until 2021. You know, the A's, they may start selling players. They can't play the minor leaguers.
You think,
man.
Chapman goes for a few million bucks?
Man. You better delete this and edit it, man, because I'm going to be the A's fan coming down my road. All three of them, bro.
Like, it's me and my two boys in Castro Valley.
No, seriously, the A's got the best shot. Yeah. A's have the best shot. I still think the Warriors are in a conversation. I really do think they're in a conversation.
I feel like the Niners have the Niners have to have the objective best shot. Like, they were on the cusp.
Yeah.
Football's so tough, though.
Football's tough. And
that's true.
They have one bye week this year.
There's more randomness with
right.
Yeah.
One team with the bye week in the playoffs. Like, you got six teams playing a wild card weekend. Like, football's just tough. And you know there's going to be some injuries to some key positions. Trying to run it back is just tough, man. So, look, Niners are in a conversation, Warriors are in a conversation, and the A's are in a conversation. I think one of those three teams will win. But I think the Warriors, man, like, look, the Clippers are going to be a year older. They're probably going to lose Montrezl Harrell. They can't pay him. The Lakers, I'm telling you, Laker fans are in denial. Why is Anthony Davis putting his house on the market, right? You go to L.A. I don't even want to start this, but you go to L.A., talk about you want to be a Laker, you want to do this. Now your house is on the market. I don't scoff at that stuff, man. When these players put their house on the market, I'm looking like, okay, does he want to go to Miami? Does he want to go to New York? Does he want to continue to play with LeBron James? We'll see about that. So I think the Warriors will be right back in contention next season. I really do.
Also, Lakers, I mean, they might win it all this year, but LeBron's going to get old at some point. A little bit. Well, we've already seen AD and scrub squad.
It is rough. The AD scrub squad. Look, the Lakers may win it if they do that 16-team bracket. You see, I bet you Doc Rivers is on the phone right now calling league offices. Like, look, you can't.
You had the same take as me. I looked at that. I'm looking at the way it breaks down. I'm like, did the Lakers design this? Because every good team's on the other half.
Bro, Andy, 3-6 Mafia is not even tripping. Bro, you see the road to the finals? Bro, the Clippers would have to play the Mavericks, the winner, the Celtics, Sixers, the Bucks. Oh, and then if you do make it to the finals, you play a Lakers squad who's – nah, I'm not going to sleep on Toronto on that side of the bracket, but come on, man. That bracket's tailor-made for the Lakers to play in the NBA finals.
I think that the Lakers, the LeBron fans, they'll find a way to win this no matter what. You know, they'll find a way to make it so that they've won online.
When winning doesn't matter, you always win.
That is the line. I mean, there it is.
Rick Barry's a psycho, right? We had him on the other day. We let him go for 25 minutes.
I was driving today during that. That was one of the best segments I've heard in years.
I was cackling. I was like, first of all, he said 1975 is the most underrated championship team in the history of North American sport. And I'm like, all right, Rick. Okay, I get it. You know, you want your team to get some shine. But he was just talking about, like, look, I'd rather wear a championship ring than a Hall of Fame ring. I'd rather wear a championship ring than being named one of the 50 greatest players of all time. Like, and that's the mentality that Jordan had. That's the mentality that Kobe had. That's the mentality that Steph Curry has. Twitter, for some reason, it's cool with James Harden averaging 35 points a game, said he doesn't have any help. Like, I looked at James Harden choking game 6 last. Like, it is just laughable. And look, Kendrick Perkins wants to go off and start popping off. Whatever. If ESPN is going to give him them checks, he's going to do it.
We're going to get to James Harden. We're going to get let me do a quick ad read. Let me try and pay the bills. We're going to do Bet Online, who is back yet again. So there's no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partner, Bet Online. NASCAR's back. Bet Online has hundreds of other games, events, and sports to get it on. You can still bet on simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC events 24/7. You can participate in a $10,000 Madden Bracket Challenge, a March Madness-style NFL simulation tournament. You can enter for free. And live right now on BetOnline's YouTube channel, you'll find an exclusive interview with ex-Chicago Bulls Ron Harper, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, and Craig Hodges, who I didn't even see in the doc, to discuss the MJ documentary on what they're calling the final dance. Visit betonline.ag. Use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. Check out all the action. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. What are the odds
that's a pro read right there?
That's what they pay me for,
get
baby.
Get that out there, man. Woo. That's a pro read.
He just sitting there like, I don't even gotta do any work. That's just all I gotta do is just spin this thing up, send it out. What are the odds that Perk comes back tomorrow with a take about LeBron or Steph or Harden? Or like, what are the odds? Is it minus 2,000, minus 3,000? It's the same fucking shit. Don't you get sick of it? I mean, essentially, he's just a radio guy, but like the worst kind of radio guy.
You know what? I want to get him on our show again because we had him on the show before. Just to be like, and like, look, we talk about this in the pre-show meetings, having these guys on and what we're going to ask them. I have no problem taking a bullet for the squad to ask these guys, like, what is the deal? Are you mad because Steph told you you're not playing and you were in street clothes? Are you mad that Draymond Green mocked you and basically threw the pom-poms at you, calling you a cheerleader? Because it's just, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, it's obviously personal. And it's obviously that ESPN has this hidden agenda that where they're going to prop up LeBron James no matter what. Like, when you see Rachel Nichols tweeting about, oh, are we going to get the last S episode number 11 to 12? When did Rachel Nichols flip? I mean, it is fascinating to watch. So there's no doubt Kendrick Perkins is going to say. That's why I always tweet out, Warrior fans, you need to stop getting so mad at Kendrick Perkins.
Right.
He's going to say wild shit. And you're going to just waste your energy trying to defend Steph Curry. It's no point anymore, especially with the Warriors not being in the playoffs. Just sit back, relax, count the rings, and brace up and embrace yourself for next season because it's going to be fun. It's tough to like, I don't even get the logic in half his arguments. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, how could you say James Harden is a better all-around player or that he's – it's just we could go on and on about it.
Let's go to our first question here. So we threw up the hashtag. We got a few of them. And it's pretty much what he asked from Gio at Sport Prohet, loyal listener. Light Years Podcast. What is with Steph disrespect lately? The idea that anyone would suggest Harden is better than Steph after watching Steph kicking his ass his entire career is insane. And the arguments for Harden don't make any sense. They like take Steph's shooting away from makes Harden better.
Yeah,
I mean, this is just nonstop all day in the mentions for all of us, I'm sure.
And I know you guys too, because you guys are tweet monsters, man. And I know you guys get a lot of heat. Like, you guys are like the focal point of a lot of fans. I get to sit back in the cut and just chill. You guys tell me. I don't know what it is. Like, Sunday it was about Ayesha Curry. I woke up
and
I was tagged in a Frisco tweet and Ayesha Curry tweet. I'm like, damn, it's a holiday weekend. Get out the house, right? Go run some laps or something. And then yesterday was all about Steph. I don't get it. I don't get it when you look at the numbers. Because, like, all right, Steph has some bad finals games. But if you look at his finals game logs, it's really good.
He only had one bad finals.
The game two, right?
Yeah.
When he went
5-3
against Dellavedova.
But, like, he's only had one bad final series. Like, okay, right. It's weird that people focus on bad games.
Wasn't even
where exactly. Actually, friend of all of ours, Jason Maples, kind of pointed it out when he was saying,
"Love,
like,
Maples Twitter, by the way."
He's the new Kobe, where right. It's just always like, "Oh, he can't win without X. He can't win without Y. Yeah. He's overrated. All that sort of stuff." And it's, I guess we watched LeBron go through it for years too, with like Skip Bayless and all that sort of stuff. But like, it is kind of a sign of respect to Steph that, like, he's the new guy that everyone's just constantly like, oh, I need ratings today. I need to talk about something. Let's talk about Steph's overrated.
So that's the big one. It's just, he's the easiest guy to attack because I think you're looking at a lot of fans that aren't Warriors fans or just aren't like specific LeBron fans or LA people. I think the easy part is just Steph wins a lot, man. The guy doesn't lose. No. The guy just doesn't lose. So if you're going to pick on someone,
bitterness over five finals, like the Warriors are they're the Patriots. Like no one likes the Patriots when they're going there every year. So you're always trying to pick it, like, you know,
oh, Brady's not even that good. It's the system.
It's Belichick. Right. It's Belichick this. It's this. It's that. So like that's the easy part. The best part about this to me is that Steph has not said a word. I think LeBron has been pretty good through the years of just never acknowledging Skip Bayless. He has a couple mishaps in terms of just being a dick to media or to people. Steph doesn't do that. But I think it is very smart on his part to just never, ever, ever say anything about what Perk is saying or mention Kendrick Perk.
Well, it's like, remember the hardest part. The post game after game six when he scores 33 in the second half? He kind of lets everyone know. I heard the noise. I heard what people are saying.
Right. Right.
And it's always better to acknowledge that after you have a moment.
Yes.
Yeah. Or when he's like yelling, like, kick me out the gym again.
Yeah.
The Draymond Green. You know, he lets it out right after that. And that's the funny thing. It's like, he just dropped 33 in the second half, 23 in the fourth quarter. And people say he's not clutch. That's clutch to me. When your team is tied, you don't have Kevin Durant. You're on the road. Facing a, all right, man, if we got to go back home for game seven on Mother's Day in our house, there's going to be a lot more pressure on us. Drops 33. The game before, he dropped 16 once KD got hurt. He dropped 20.
He closed that game out.
Once KD, game five, he closed, and he was struggling. Remember, he was struggling. KD was carrying him. He walks off the floor, and Steph Curry just goes off.
Everyone writes him up. Everyone thinks it's over.
Yep.
Exactly. He scores 11-14, and you guys were probably at Oracle that night. It was tight in there. When KD got hurt, it was like, oh, man, we need Steph. Like, Steph's struggling a bit. And he comes through. So he comes through more times than not. 2015 against the Rockets. You know, it's just
– Memphis.
I don't know what the basis is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just try to grasp, like, okay, is it because he's dancing? Is it because he's shimmying? Is it because he's walking at OKC after hitting the 35-footer? Like, why? The guy literally broke basketball. And it's like, you know, Jalen Rose said something a couple weeks ago where he was like, the great thing about Jordan was he kept great players from winning championships. And LeBron James is a great player. Everybody kind of had their turn. But Steph Curry wasn't supposed to have that turn. It was supposed to be Chris Paul. Yep. It was supposed to be Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah,
Carmelo. You know, it was supposed to be one of those guys. And Steph KD. Curry comes out of nowhere. Yeah. KD, exactly. Steph Curry comes out of nowhere and just crushes people's dreams. And they change the way basketball's played. And it's just like, guys are like, oh, he's shooting from 30 feet. It's not real. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
he's not an all-around player. That's the whole thing. The minute he started putting his stamp on the game, it was all like, well, he doesn't dominate the game all around like LeBron or like, there's all these parameters. And it's
complete
like
point guard, right?
We've all watched basketball our whole lives. There's a million different ways to win a game.
Right.
On the clutch point, by clutch, not clutch LeBron clutch, but
clutch
with a C, the good kind, is that the thing with Steph is he is one of the best late game finishers in the league. The thing with the quote unquote bad performances, the guy has played every single close game in big moments in the last like six years. Yeah. Right. 5-6 years. Like he's played in every. So unless you're MJ and even MJ, as we just watched, you're going to miss some shots. You're gonna miss some shots. He can't make every single finals clinching shot. He's made a ton of first round, second round, Western Conference Finals, and finals games. So it's just the guy's played every single big game. Like you look at James Harden, he's never played a big game in his fucking life.
He has, and he's come up short. That's the
wild thing about Harden. It's like, how did he enter this conversation? Oh, he's got like a couple hurdles to clear for. Like we all know he's talented, but
dude, you get blown out by the Spurs without Kawhi Leonard in a game six at your house. Game five last year in that second round series in the fourth quarter, he just like gave the ball up.
That was literally crazy.
It was crazy. And then you guys know me. I walk into the visiting locker room and I'm like, oh my Lord, did they just lose game seven or something? Like they were done. Yeah. They were crushed. Yeah. And I remember walking into the locker room and Marcus Thompson, he's like, named a couple Warriors who were like, yo, they know they're done. Like, a couple Warriors were like, in the locker room, was like, James Harden ain't got it. He's done. And so, you know, when we talk about Steph being clutch, we think about game six, 2016 against OKC, not even game seven, because game seven, he was great.
He was fantastic.
Game five, he was great.
Yep.
But game six, we all remember it as a Clay game.
Yep.
Steph Curry hit some big shots. He closed the deal when he went one-on-one with Ibaka.
Yep.
He hit a big three in that sequence. Like, people forget that stuff. Or they don't forget it. They just refuse to bring it up because They want a narrative to fit their conversation. Yep. And they just want to say, oh, so they make up a stat like, oh, in the last 15, 20 seconds, he's 0 for whatever. Come on, man. We know basketball. Like, there's clutch moments in the third quarter. There's clutch moments early in the fourth quarter because you could lose a game. Like, even in that game 6 against OKC, there were so many times in that first half where OKC had a chance to blow it open. They missed a shot. Warriors come down, hit a big shot. And it was Steph. So, I think Kendrick Perkins is on the payroll. I think a lot of those guys like Ryan Hollins is on the payroll. Channing Frye, when he says things like Jordan only had one job at getting a bucket, it's just like, ooh, all right, man. Like, what does LeBron have on you guys? What does he have on you guys?
That is some good stuff. Go ahead, Sam. That is some good stuff.
Think about that. A guy, Channing Frye, said Jordan only had one job. Like, he didn't win DPOY or was guarding Reggie. Like, game 7 in 98, I watched that game over recently because, like, we're in quarantine. We ain't got nothing right to do. So I'm watching, and, yeah, it was an ugly basketball game. But Reggie Miller didn't score in the last 15 minutes. Jordan was pounding this guy off of screens, and he took that challenge while taking on the load on offense. It's just these guys who are around LeBron James or play with LeBron James. They come up with this stuff, and it's almost like LeBron's like – you see him, like, kind of liking it on Instagram or whatnot.
Right.
It's like, come on, man. The light-skinned dude really hurts your feelings that much. and here's the funny part is, I'm hoping Kawhi Leonard beats him because Kawhi Leonard doesn't get his due. That's why I love Kawhi Leonard now. Even though, you know, he does a whole load management thing, Kawhi's a killer. And LeBron does not want that smoke at all. So –
So I was actually going to say this because you brought up something that kind of gets understated. I don't think the Warriors respect James Harden that much.
Oh, they don't. I don't think so.
I think it's like they know they can beat LeBron if they focus, but they know how good he is. There's right. No disrespect for his talent level. I don't think Harden is like number two to them in their mind. Like, I think they're more scared of Harden. Or, sorry, not Harden. Kawhi.
Yep.
I think there's like a handful of players before we get to Harden.
Who I think they're scared of Kawhi, Jordan, LeBron.
Maybe Giannis.
Even scared of LeBron. Yeah,
well, they just know he's a harder challenge. I think is the better way to put it. They know they can't make mistakes when they play against a LeBron team, basically.
Well, think about it, fellas. When you play the Rockets, you know they're not shooting any mid-range jumpers whatsoever. So you don't even have to worry about the twos, right? They're either going to the cup and try to get a layup, or they're going to bomb a three. And when James Harden is dribbling, step back daddy three, and it's like he's easy to defend over a course of a game, 7 games.
Like, it's annoying to like not foul him, but that's about it. You're like trying really not hard to foul him. You live with what he shoots.
He's easy to defend. That system is so basic. They don't mix it up at all. They don't make any adjustments. So for a defender, you know, okay, he's going to dribble. Sure, he's going to make a couple threes. He's going to create some separation, but you're going to be in his face for the most part. Or if you funnel him into the rack, you got some guys who are there protecting the rim, you're going to make it tough on him. He's just easy to defend. He's predictable. When you're predictable in a 7-game series, more times than not, a good team, a great team, is going to figure it out. And by game 4, you're going to be stymied. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna struggle over the latter half of the series. So he's just easy to defend.
That's James Harden for you. By the way, we've got like we did a light years mailbag, which actually you were tagged on, Bonte. We've got like 50 questions. I'm gonna have to run through a few.
I avoided a few of those.
You know what's coming.
I know what's coming with you guys.
There's some fun ones in here. We'll get to the Frisco stuff later. But since we're on James Harden, let's get to Mike Mikus, and then we'll go from there because there are some really fun ones. Do y'all think if Harden had been in Steph's position, maybe we don't have to go into it too much, but if he had been in Steph's position for the last 6 years, Steph and Harden's position, would Warriors have won as many, if any, rings, and would Houston have ended up nabbing one thanks to the culture Steph creates? What do you think?
I don't know. That's a tough question because I think James Harden, look, I'll defend him in this sense that Mike Tony has forced him to play this style of basketball. And I remember James Harden in OKC. He did have some mid-range game. He could, you know, he was a fun player to watch in OKC when he was coming off the bench. Now, I know he disappeared in the finals against Miami, but he was young.
But he was also, I mean, people always forget that he was better than Russ against the Spurs.
Oh, he was the reason why they beat the Spurs.
Yeah.
No doubt. I'm glad you brought that up. He was the reason they beat the Spurs. He killed them off the bench. So maybe they went one, but how would Draymond and Klay respond to James Harden?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Draymond might.
I just don't know how effective Draymond would be with a dude who dribbles that much. Like,
exactly.
Draymond's whole thing is like, if the ball is popping, he's going to find the open man every time.
Off the ball, too. Can James Harden play off the ball like Steph Curry? Because Steph Curry cooks off the ball. But their action, when they're in the half court, Draymond's got the ball at the top of the key. He's looking for Steph running baseline. I don't think James Harden could do that. I'll give the Warriors one, but I don't even know if I'll do that thinking about James Harden in that system. It's just I don't see it working.
Because Klay Thompson is essentially a better Robert Covington in that system. And then and then Draymond Green is like, I don't even know what he is, right? He's essentially just – he's setting screen, but what does he do? He's P.J. Tucker, but he's not shooting 38%, 36, 38% from three. So, right.
Well, it's just like if a dude's best skill is passing and he doesn't get the ball in his hands, then what's he doing?
Right. Nothing. He's a zero out there. You're basically playing four or five.
It's like putting Rondo with Harden. Like, that's not working.
This is where you go back to why Steph is so great. Logan Murdoch, Bonte. What's Bonte's favorite pair of lugs? Why does he wear Curry's with bootcut jeans in public? CC Mech. So.
Oh, Logan, man, the king of skinny jeans. I mean, that guy gets
Logan, pretty skinny though.
You guys let that guy and I've been knowing Logan for about 8 years now. That guy gets away when wearing skinny jeans where the pants don't go past his calf muscles. When is that? Cool? When does that become acceptable?
I think he's like my age, so I think that's a pretty standard.
I mean, that's what Andy wears.
I mean, he wears Vans with no socks on.
I mean, Bonte is a little too old,
dude. And you know what? I had the butter Timbs, man. I was a Timbs guy. I had the butter Timbs. I thought I was from New York, man. Knocking Jadakiss all damn day, Jay-Z. No lugs for me.
Have you pulled out your most relaxed fit jeans after watching The Last Dance?
No, I got tight fitting jeans now, man. My girl makes sure I'm suited and booted, man, with the Levi's, man. They fit well. No Jabos. I had to donate the Jabos.
Oh, I was gonna say.
I had to donate the strap Jabos to the Goodwill. So those are gone. I did shed some tears about those. I had about three pairs of Jabos, man, with the straps. I was really feeling myself back in those days, but no bootcut jeans.
Why is that? Logan, why is that not surprising?
I mean, Logan Murdoch, man. I love Logan. I love Logan, but he gets away and like they call that fashion. Logan dresses so well. You need to learn how to dress like him. I'm just looking at him like, come on, man.
Are people in 20 years going to look back at the way Logan dresses the way we look back at MJ? Or it's like, what is this?
I don't know what MJ was doing, man. Like, you imagine being the
But do you remember? I mean, you remember being the late 90s? Like, that's so sick. I got to get some jeans like that.
Dude, baggy jeans, and the worst part was we were sagging in those baggy jeans.
Yeah,
so imagine that.
You were sagging, not me. You were. I don't get away with sagging. All right. How did Bonte come up with the famous "Eats for Free in the Bay" slogan for athletes? And what's the bar to reach this? Is Jimmy G Eats for Free in the Bay or no? What has he done? Yeah, I don't think so.
I think he's good in Los Altos Hills.
He's good in the marina too.
Yeah, Jimmy gets away with a low tip.
Right. He gets 50% off. You know what I'm saying? You're the quarterback of the 49ers. You get 50% off. I think one of my uncles, man, I was young and it always stuck to me. And I think other people have said it before. And I just started doing it on Twitter and it kind of caught some steam. But one of my uncles, man, we were watching, this was like late 90s, early 2000s. We're watching like the Lakers against the Kings. And Horry hit that shot. I'll never forget. Horry hit that shot in game four against the Kings. And he was like, that sucker eats for free, baby. That joker eats for free. He was a big Laker fan. I'm like,
right.
And it just kind of stuck with me. So whenever somebody does, you know, somebody balls out, I'm like, man, that guy eats for free. So I come up with random restaurants, high end. Like Shasky gets on because he's like, bro, you're putting people out of business. It's like, we're not giving out free meals every single day. You know what I'm saying? You got to do something really, really cool to get a free meal. So, it's just kind of stuff, man. So this is fun.
Yeah.
All right. Who eats for free on the Warriors then?
Oh,
let's run through this. Obviously, Steph.
Steph, Clay.
Draymond.
Eating for free. Yeah. Still eating for free. Kerr? You can't charge Draymond Green. You think about charging him, he's going to throw a fit. Can't do that.
Jordan Poole?
Nah. I mean,
Jordan Poole paying double.
Like, Jordan Poole gets like little like buy one get one free cards, right? Like Bonita Taqueria,
free refill on the soda.
You know what I'm saying? You pay 50% for a burrito and you get a free soda. He gets that. Pascal's got a couple places you can eat for free. Mostly breakfast shops. You know what I mean? Free bagels and cream cheese, orange juice. You know, some dinners. If he wants to go to the water bar down there in the Embarcadero,
how about Looney?
25% off at free parking. You know. Who else, man?
Looney, come on, Looney.
Looney, you know what? Looney eats for free. Looney eats for free. What he did in that finals and against Toronto, man, coming back. Like, Looney's won me over, man, because like I thought he was just a bust.
He gave his collarbone away.
Dude, he gave his
body.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll ever see him again, but
yeah. I mean, seriously, we might not. The guy might not play again.
Might be done. I mean, when he walked out of Media Day 2017, he was there at Media Day. It's like, man, how long is he going to be on the roster? 2 weeks? And he actually became a key contributor. He was huge in those Rocket series, staying in front of James Harden and Chris Paul. How can you forget that? So Looney eats for free. He's a champ. He gave out his collarbone for us. He eats for free.
He's a good one. What else? I think that's about it. Everyone else is retired or gone.
Wiggins hasn't done much yet. You know what I'm saying?
He's making 35 mil. He could pay for it.
He needs to stimulate the economy.
Right, exactly. He's got to give a couple $1,000 tips. Right, give a couple $1,000 tips, and you start getting the 10% off. Then we get the 20, and you know, we'll see what happens next year.
actually, on that note, let's throw this one out there. Yeah. Favorite small business restaurants that in the city that you want to attract attention to right now, where people should be going. I threw this one up today. I was in the Sunset. I threw out a tweet like, where should I get a sandwich in the Sunset?
It got me thinking.
Like, there's just so many classic local spots around the city that you're like, you're a little worried about. You want them to make it through this whole thing.
Yeah, I saw you get a lot of Roxy's love. Roxy sandwiches.
Roxy's not even in the Sunset. It's not on Ocean, it's way up. I used to go there because I went like to CCSF. Right? Yeah, it's good. I don't know if it's that good though.
It's funny. Andy threw out Jeans. He texted me Jeans, and then I got like 10 people tweet me out of the blue that one. So
Jeans is good. See, I the local businesses I've been going to, I go to Chino's Taqueria out here in the outer Richmond.
Yeah, you're a Richmond guy.
Lou's sandwiches. They got one in the Sunset.
I got Lou's today.
TJ out there. Lou's is good. What you get? I always go with the RB mushroom. They need to rename that sandwich.
I want the barbecue chicken today.
Yeah, I'm a mushroom guy, Andy. I don't know what it is about. I'm a weirdo.
I'm an Italian, but yeah.
Gordo's burritos.
Really? Classic.
Yeah, I mean,
had that one growing up.
It's nothing like it doesn't compare to the Mission, but out here in the Richmond District, that's our go to. Gordo's burritos. I rock with that. Hamburger Haven's right down the street for me. Local small mom and pops type of breakfast spot. I go there still. Ashley's Cafe right there on 7th and California. They've lost like 80% of their business, man. And it's sad, man. Like they had to lay off everybody. But I go to Ashley's, man. That's a good go-to spot for me when it comes to local businesses.
The mom and pop breakfast spots are those are the best.
Those are the ones that are struggling the most because those aren't takeout spots either. Like the whole like fun of going to a lazy breakfast spot on a Saturday or Sunday is sitting there for an hour.
Yep. Yeah. Eddie's Cafe on Divisadero in Fulton. I mean, that is money. They've been around forever and they're quick too. So and they're not, you know, like you said, like you just said, man. The to-go spots for the mom and pops is just not the same. You want to sit there and eat and enjoy yourself and tip and talk to the workers. So Eddie's Cafe is another one that I love as just a small mom and pop spot. So, and we got a lot of those in the city, man, like a lot of them. And hopefully this economy bursts back up, man. And we get out the house a little bit, man, because they're struggling, man.
Yeah, that's every time I go to one. I miss Bashful Bowl, which is an old one. They had one on Noriega and Terrefour. They closed both down. But a lot of times now I'm going to a lot of like, if I go to a Korean spot or I get like donuts or whatever, they're just like giving out. They're just giving you like free, like a free extra donut or like an extra like tofu or whatever. And I'm just like, God, like I feel like shit. It's just like, damn, I should order more. Like I should order more, but it's like, it's only me eating. So I can't get four things, but nah, you're right. Jeans is a good one. A lot of Asian spots in the Sunset.
A lot of them. The fuss spot. It's right there on Irving between
Kevin's Noodle House.
19th and 20th, I believe.
Yeah, Kevin's or PPQ. Yeah, those are the.
There you go.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I saw Andy like dry pho though. I saw something on Instagram where he's like dry pho is better than the
dude. Dry pho is, you guys, if you guys have never had dry pho, it's like a different texture of noodle. And
look then
you,
his face.
You think like, it's bro. Better?
Or
you just like them equally and it's
amazing. I like them equally. I mean, I'd probably rather have pho, like just the broth and all of that, but but it's great. So any spot in the sunset is good. What's let's see. We have another one from my guy, G Boy, who hates me. He's always in my mentions hating me, but he is a listener of the podcast. So I assume he loves Sam enough to get over his hatred of me. So good for him. He asks, we're getting back to basketball a little bit. With the uncertainty surrounding Looney's ongoing health issues, why don't the Warriors just draft James Wiseman as insurance? I don't want to hear any of Kongwu. You don't just buy 7'6 wingspan on the market. All right. So draft talk. Give us your best draft take. I know you have some.
I do. But it's fascinating because, like, I don't know about you guys. Like, watching college basketball is brutal. I tried to watch some games this year, and it was like Baylor was like the number one team. And I was like, oh my God, this is the worst number one team I've ever seen in my life. You're struggling to score like 50 points. Look,
am I wrong in saying college basketball is getting farther away from the pro game every year?
Oh, absolutely. Every year. It's terrible. You're spot on, Sam. This is why I've been a sucker for James Wiseman for a couple reasons. One, buddy of mine works at TNT. They're here for Thursday night basketball. And he's like, hey, dog, my guy Jason from Chicago works at TNT, works for the trucks. He's like, dog, I got to go get Wiseman, man. He like Chris Webber, dog. And I'm like, what? Wiseman like Chris Webber? A couple days later, I run into Mark Spears. You know Mark Spears, ESPN. He goes, dog, get me on the air. Comes on the air. He's talking about Wiseman's got skills like a young KG. I'm like, what? So I look at him and I'm just like, gosh, if they could just trade the pick and get somebody.
And we only saw three games.
We saw three games. Yeah, and one of the games, he was like, okay. He was okay. LaMelo Ball, I don't think it's going to work because he's a backup. You know, he's not going to want to play backup PG. LaMelo Ball's going to want to shine. Curry's got a couple years, 3-4 years left here. I don't see that happening. Obi Toppin, I'm down on. I was high on Obi Toppin early on. Then later on in the season, I'm like, oh, he's a little stiff. Could he play a small ball five? I don't know. Look, it's a crapshoot, man. It's a crapshoot. Who I think the safest pick is? James Wiseman. But then again, I'm just like, gosh, man, this is such a bad draft to have a top three pick. Like Anthony Edwards. Got potential.
He might be the best value guy, though. He might just be the best guy. Like, just, yeah.
Here's how I think. Here's what I'm thinking. Like, you draft one of these players. Can one of these players help you in a playoff series?
Well, not next.
I don't think any of them are
not next year.
Key yeah. contributors year. On a playoff team.
And don't you think they got to get a player that can help them contribute next year? Like, it feels like they need.
That means they got to trade it, though. Like, that. I almost feel that means they just got to trade it.
So this kind of ties into, we got like eight questions which kind of danced on the same concept. So I'm not going to read any of them individually, but right. It's kind of, what do you want this Warrior team to add next year? Like, let's assume they're bringing back Steph, Clay, Draymond, Wiggins. Like, there's no big trade. It's about adding around the roster. What do you want to see them do?
I think they need a vet off the bench, obviously. Maybe a backup PG. How expensive is it going to be? Like, for some reason, I'm fixing it on a guy like Goran Dragic. I know he gets cooked on defense, but as a backup PG, you know, does he want to win? Does he want to come to the West Coast? Does he want to pay those taxes in California? Aaron Baines is intriguing to me. But I do think they need some size because when the Warriors were at their best, it was that depth lineup, right? It was their depth lineup. A lot of white guys, I know, right? That depth lineup, though, they need some wing. They need length and size. They need rim protection. So how can they get rim protection? You know, Serge Ibaka, I believe, is a free agent, but how much money is he going to want? I think he'd be perfect. I mean, he's getting older, but in a role.
No, he'd be perfect.
20, 25 minutes.
He'd be a great, you know,
right. Stretch five. I look at a guy like that, so I think that's what they need because, you know, that depth lineup, even though, like, quote-unquote KD and Iguodala, they were small, they were long and athletic, and they could protect the rim. That's what they really need, man.
Sam and I have debated the topic of just kind of how you move forward, just in your build of a team, right? You've won a certain way, but you can try to go back to the well and emulate that again and then copy that. But sometimes you're not able to. And if you're not able to, how do you switch it up? You know, maybe you do go a little more traditional. Maybe you do end up with Marc Gasol, and that's who you have to do. That's what you have to do to end games. And if that's, you know, maybe Aaron Baines is going to be that guy to end games, just because you can't get Iguodala again. You can't get Sean Livingston. You can't even get Sean Livingston again, right? No. Actually, I guess they can. I guess they can bring him out of retirement.
Maybe he takes a year off and comes back.
I mean, I
pull the 100 pence. Yeah.
Yeah. Sean.
Just giant slander coming from this guy. Like every podcast, just first the Brandon Bell.
I got like a 1 to 2 years before the Giants build a juggernaut here. So I got him in right now.
They've got a top 10 farm system, by the way.
Top 10 farm system. I believe in Farhan Zaidi. I don't know if I believe in Gabe Kapler. Bring it out 100 cents.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like, man, I don't know. Look, they need size, man. And if it's a Marc Gasol, great. But to your question, Andy, like, I think you play off the Splash Brothers. You play the way you did in the half court offensively, right? With Draymond Green. And you got Clay and Steph running off screens and just bombing. So you play through them. But what's the next level? I like Marquese Chris because he can get up. He'll give you about 15, 20 minutes. But you need somebody who could just get you a bucket. And I think that was the great thing about KD.
Wiggins.
When he came here, Wiggins, right? When it was time to just go get you a bucket, KD could do that. You know, so I think you need somebody else who could complement the Splash Brothers, who could just go get you a bucket when you need to. Wiggins, is he that guy? I don't know.
I do like the Dragan shout out because, like, I mean, who's the last guard they have who could just attack the basket? Barbosa?
Barbosa probably, right?
Yeah. And it's like,
I mean, Livingston to an extent where he had a little baseline fadeaway here to the elbow fadeaway. But, like, that's it. They've rolled out Quinn Cook, Jacob Evans, McCaw sometimes. I mean, it smells at the backup PG spot. It smells. Like, are you going to roll with Kai Bowman? You know, is Kai Bowman ready for a roll like that?
Kai Bowman's getting unemployment checks right now. Which are, they're pretty good. They're not bad. They're not bad. By the way, forgot to mention the best sandwich in the city, Little Lucas. I forgot to throw that out there.
Is great.
I told Sam to get it today, and I had no idea there was one on Chestnut, which is kind of
It
blew my mind.
There's a Lucas on Chestnut. South City.
Oh, it's different. Okay,
I think it's different ownership.
I was gonna say because I was
like, I never knew about a little Lucas.
Lucas. I'll be there every day. No, that's the stuff I fall asleep to.
I did find out there was a Shake Shack though on Fillmore by the old Matrix. I know Andy spent a lot of time there. I had no idea there was a Shake Shack right there.
They just opened it. I went there.
I'm sorry, Andy. I know you're not
a marina guy. That's a Sam staple.
This is such a lie. I saw Andy at Fort Mason last week.
I was at Fort Mason. I forgot that Sam was there. I was pretty gone, and I just forgot Sam was there. I texted Sam the next morning, like, dude, I saw you yesterday, huh? And just like
socially distanced, just to be clear.
They say hi, Sam. Yeah.
Well, and the bad thing is like
Andy had the eyes. He's ready to just fucking go for it.
Caught me taking a piss in the back of the thing because there's just the restroom just isn't even open now. It's just like what? Like I don't even know what is
what you got to do.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. We got a good one. I like this one. Chris Francis. What have you learned about host? Because I felt like Bonte taught a lot here, especially when we got into radio. What have you learned about hosting a podcast from your very first episode to now? What would you tell first time Sam and Andy if you could go back? All right, this is a good one, Bonte. I picked this one because I think when we first started, Sam and I doing radio, we were pretty nervous, pretty technical in terms of what we're doing. Just had no idea what's
going on. And it got a lot better when we kind of just bullshitted the way that we do now
and the way we were just at the bar. So I think that was kind of the biggest thing. The biggest thing. And whether that be on podcast or radio, you just gotta be able to talk about yourself. And if people hate it, that's fine. We get a lot more haters on radio than we do doing our podcast. And that's okay as long as you have fun. So that's a big one. That's why I pick it.
That's a great question. And look, once you guys figured it out on radio, like, just be yourselves, you guys are golden. You know what I'm saying? You were smooth, just like on this podcast. You got to just be confident, even if you're wrong. Like, you're not going to shoot 100%, right? You're not going to shoot 1,000%. Even when you're wrong, you got to be confident in your answer, right? You got to be confident in your takes. And you got to have fun, man. You got to laugh. You got to smile. You're going to flub some words here and there. Your speech is good. Your train of thought is going to get lost. Have fun. Be yourself. Laugh at yourself. Be able to talk about yourself. And just be confident, man. That's one thing I've learned in radio throughout the years. And I still tell myself this every single day, because I still get butterflies sometimes going into a show. I'm like, damn, look, all right, man, what are we going to do here? How am I going to open it? What's going on here? And like, once you just get into it and just start laughing and having fun, it puts everybody at ease. Everybody, your host, your co-host, your producers, and even the audience. So I think you're spot on, Andy, when you're just like, talk about yourself, have fun, be confident in your takes, and just laugh. Laugh. You know, it like when you do radio or podcast, just act like you're in the living room shooting the shit. Because that's all you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like with Steiny and Goo, we just try to shoot. We're at the bar. We're chilling. We're chugging shots. We're talking shit. You know, and then we're just throwing stuff against the wall and we're getting people involved. So that's radio and podcasting, man. Just have fun and just, you know, you're just shooting the shit with your boys and be confident in it. And then people, you know, once they find out that you're personable and you're engaging, people are going to flock to you and they're going to gain more confidence and you're going to be good. You're going to be straight, man. That's the key to it, man. People overthink this stuff. You know what I'm saying? They want to have every answer. They want to be a know-it-all. They want to be the funniest guy in the room. Just do you, man. Just be, you know what I'm saying? Like, just do you and have fun and act like you're in the living room chilling.
Michael Urban said something to me, like, it was maybe our second show and Andy and I are kind of nervous waiting in like the lobby area before we're going in. He just goes to me, you guys just need to smile. Just smile.
Smile.
Laugh a little more and it'll come easier. It sounds dumb, but it's like it's the most true thing ever. Like if you're having a good time doing it, you start sounding natural. And as opposed to like going in there with like, you know, sweat coming down your brow. I'm like, do I sound dumb?
First time I was on the air of the day on KMBR 1050, I was nervous for like 45 minutes. My hands were dripping, dog. I was like, I couldn't even press the on button, dude. I was like shaking. You know what I'm saying? This feels daunting, dog. Because you're like, oh man, what if I just like stumble? What if I just like, what if there's dead air? You know what I'm saying? What if there's no phone calls? And like, because when you first get on the air, you notice that text line, they're going to wait a minute. They're not going to text right away. They're going to be listening to see, all right, who is this dude?
How
funny are these guys?
Yeah.
Do they suck or are they good? And then once they get comfortable with you, the texts start rolling in, man. So it's those first few times in the studio, man, they're daunting. There's no doubt they're daunting. But once you get comfortable, like you guys are in the podcast, man, it's nothing. It's nothing. Because all you're doing is talking and talking sports. This is what we do.
Yeah, it's you just do. All right, Bonte. I can't end the podcast without asking you. I grew up in San Francisco. I actually never in my life said San Fran or Frisco. So those two were actually things that I was just like, those aren't things that I'm going to say.
Right.
SF, the city, the Bay, maybe not really, but mostly SF, the city.
The Bay is something people who grew up outside of the city say, because they want to feel like they're part of it. It's the same thing. We're part of the Bay. You
know? So the city is just kind of the one that I roll with, the city. Frisco, not one. And now maybe that's because I'm younger, or maybe just because I grew up with different people.
Right.
No Frisco or San Fran for me.
San Fran is like, I don't know, even though I feel like San Fran is just people being lazy. Like, I feel like in sports, we've gotten lazy with our nicknames, right? You know, it's like D-Wade, you know what I'm saying? Mello. Like, we got lazy with our nicknames. Like, nicknames used to be so much cooler. And I'd look at San Fran like,
shout out Black Jesus. Lazy. Shout out Kid Black Dynamite.
Jesus. Dude, Black Jesus is like the greatest nickname ever. Black Jesus. Like, I don't even know who Michael Jordan is. Black Jesus. But you know what? When I used to go to Marin, right? We'd go party in Marin with our, you know,
what the hell, you
judge me.
Yeah. High school. See, this is why. This is why your girlfriend is
my girlfriend's Russian. In the other room, bro. Be cool. Be cool. Be cool.
I'm good.
I'm trying to sleep in his bed tonight.
Bate in Nevada. What's he doing in Nevada?
So, like, we used to say the city because, like, we figured, all right, these people aren't hip. They don't know anything. So we say the city. Yeah, we're from the city. But, like, growing up in the 90s, where you had, like, San Quentin, RBL Posse, you know, all these rappers here said Frisco. Dre drops Frisco on California Love. Then they had the Frisco hoodies. And it was like, we're Frisco. You know what I'm saying? So we use Frisco a lot growing up. And it all depends on the neighborhood you're in. Now, there's some OGs in the city that refuse to say Frisco. They're like, nah, it's a city. It's a city. Or San Francisco. Just no, never San Fran, never Frisco.
Yeah.
But it's a debate that, like, the one thing that ticks me off about it is that people who didn't grow up here try to tell you what you could call the city. And it's like, oh, anybody calls it Frisco, they deserve to get their ass beat. Then you look at the avatar, and it's like, what, this dude's from Menlo Park, dog. Menlo Atherton. What the fuck does he know about what we could call San Francisco? Like, bro, you didn't, like, so that's why when people are like, oh, I'm from the city. All right, what bus line did you take to school? You know what I'm saying? What bus line did you take? Did you have a fast pass? You know what I'm saying? Did you take the 29 Sunset?
29 was good to me. The 29
was good to you. I know
it was,
you
good to me.
Already. I was 31 to 38 going to watch. So,
yeah, you're going up.
Or the 5 Fulton. So, yeah. Look, Frisco to me is acceptable. I don't use it as much as I get older. But San Fran's just the one where it's just like, no, it's not San Fran. It really isn't. Like, Kalina has a boogie, which I came on the air. He said San Fran. I said, Kalina. No, dog. It ain't. Like, I had to, man. It's just like, I can't.
Well, okay. So, how I disassociate it is, I think San Fran people just say it, that they're just trying to, like, hey, like, it's San Francisco, shorten it a little bit. Right. I think people who say Frisco do kind of say it to kind of seem cool. Like, if you're not from, they just kind of be like, all right. So that part kind of irks
some
me. Where
people
you're
do
like,
a little too much.
A little too
some
much.
People do a little too much. Some people, man, I'm from the skull, man. I'm from Frisco. And it's like, all right, dude, chill. All right. Like, we get it. But, like, in high school, I had, like, a couple hoodies with Frisco on it. Like, it was just embedded in the culture that, hey, if we're going to call it, you could call it the city. Some people called it the skull. Some people called it Frisco. That was all good.
A lot of high school Bonte references today.
A lot of Bonte. Oh, my gosh. Dude, I'm aging myself. But, like, you know, I get suckered into these debates all the time because I get tagged in them. And it's just like, bro, I'm not trying to deal with this again. Chesky and I did a video on it. All right, that's it. We're done.
Never ends.
Shout out Chesky, who will take the debate every time.
Yeah.
Every time. Dude, he texted me yesterday. I was like, I got suckered in again. I was like, you get suckered in anything. All right? I can't talk about Chesky in my own show without him calling at the end of the show to defend himself. I'm like, Chesky, bro, turn the radio off.
So that's that. Well, that's like with Sam, where sometimes I'll
go. Yeah, this is a different thing. Andy will always text us like, "Why are you debating that person?"
It's exactly. I go on the app, and I see Sam giving responses and making like an argument. I'm like, dude, why? You've done this a million times. You don't win because he's not going to agree with you.
Right.
He's just going to keep turning around and but Sam likes it. He enjoys it.
You know what that is, Andy? You've got Twitter maturity, where you just like, you know what, I'm not even wasting my day. That's why I've kind of gotten to over the last year or two.
It's tired.
I'm just like,
it's tiring.
I'm not finna, dude.
Sam got endurance. He's like a marathon runner. He can just, he does it all day where he can just go. He'll like
his backhanded slander.
From 5 a.m. to midnight. Sam is liking. I see Sam in so many Twitter conversations.
Genuine conversations. Genuine, not troll conversation, because I do my fair share of troll conversations, but like legitimately
it's people from Canada, Sam's in the combo. I'm like, bro, Sam knows him too. How many people does Sam follow?
Sam does know
He's everywhere. Maples is like that now too. I love Jason Maples' Twitter, by the way, because he's like fighting our fight. He's fighting a fight that I would fight like 2 years ago.
Right.
But you see how it all, it's like the torch has been passed, right?
Yeah.
Maples doing it. You guys did it. I did it at one point.
Warriors Jackie Twitter. At one point. The thing about Warriors Twitter is the torch has been passed to them. And Sam and I have noticed where we don't actually tweet as much about that type of stuff, but we see a lot of people do it and they do it like vociferously. They do it with a lot of passion and energy. And yes. I'm just watching it. I'm just like, Yeah, just I'm just like, wow, this is impressive. And I look back and I'm like, yeah, but you know, 25-year-old Andy was doing the same damn thing. Just,
same
you know,
thing, man.
Online, same just thing. Firing off, just really problematic tweets sometimes, but just getting it done. So it's good to see other people take up the mantle. Sam was peaking back in 2014. Woo!
Sam, man. Yes. Hey, Sam came on the scene, bro. Sam came on the scene, and then, like, I remember Andy, he all of a sudden came out of nowhere, and Andy used to be at Warrior Games, always rolling with J-Ram, Jordan Ramirez. Shout out Jordan Ramirez. And then Andy, I was like, man, that dude's cool, bro. He comes to the games, I chop it up with Andy. Yeah. Then Andy became a monster where he was like, I don't even sit in the media section no more. I'm too good for this. I'm like, all right. Nothing but bites the dust, right? Andy became too cool for the press box.
I just figured out that it was more fun to drink at the games. Now that it doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, now that I don't cover the team anymore, it was just more fun to go to the games and drink. Sam, actually.
Yes, definitely. Before we get out of here, I was gonna say, so we didn't even get on this one, that the NBA is gonna come back, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
What do you guys think of these various proposals? You into the play-in tournament or the group play World Cup style or whatever the hell weird shit Adam Silver's coming up with these days?
I feel like they're just throwing stuff out there for us, right?
Right.
It's all like public relations. All right, throw this one out on Twitter. It's like Giants Twitter, right? Giants Twitter threw out the Gabe Kapler stuff. And people were like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. They did it anyway. They're like, all right, fuck it, we're going to do it anyway, right? Despite the backlash. I feel like Adam Silver and company are just throw this one out. See what Twitter's doing. See what the reaction is. Whoa, let's go ahead and run with this. Whoa. So I think the 16-team bracket, they threw that out there. To where Doc Rivers and company and the Celtics and the Bucks are gonna be like, no. Try this shit next year. You don't do that and cut the regular season off and make us go through this journey where we see the Lakers as a 2 seed having a sweet run to the finals. It's interesting, it's intriguing, but I think you gotta do it. Like, here's the thing. You go straight into the playoffs, somebody's gonna get hurt right away, man. Those playoff games are intense. After 3 months off, and you go straight to a game one, and people are going to be amped up to play. These guys are going to be
That's the thing. Everyone can, like, say they're going to try to pace themselves. You don't pace yourself when there's stakes on the line. No. Like, they're too competitive.
Nope. So, it's either this, right? You started back up July 1st, or, hell, you started back up in mid-June and finished the regular season, or you just go, I don't know, you play 10 games and have an abbreviated regular season. Maybe you give some of the Western Conference teams who are like 3.5 out of Memphis, who is it, the Blazers, the Kings, and the Pelicans, maybe you give them, I don't know, you give them a 10 games to try to catch the Grizzlies or whatnot, then you go into the playoffs. I just don't think you can go straight into the playoffs and expect the quality of basketball to be, you know, the high-level basketball we see in the postseason. Like, guys are going to get hurt. It's going to be rust factor. Guys are going to be short on jumpers. Then the weirdness of having no fans at a random facility in Orlando.
Orlando thing is weird.
Who do you think this favors? It is weird. There'll never be anything like it. Like, everyone's debating the wrong thing, where it's just like, in 20 years, we're going to all talk about that one time we watched them play the playoffs behind closed doors.
Regardless of who wins.
Yeah. Who do you think actually gets an advantage from it?
Keep in mind, James Harden lost 30 pounds.
I know. I saw him. I saw that. That was unbelievable. I mean,
I'm telling you right now, we're going to watch it, and he's going to look the exact same, and we're going to start asking questions.
You know what? I think the Clippers have an advantage. Even though their road would be treacherous, think about how much rest Kawhi Leonard's getting right now. And nobody's talking about Kawhi Leonard right now.
And Paul George.
Paul George was banged up.
Yep,
he was banged up. Kawhi's been limping around for 2 years, and Kawhi Leonard's the best player nobody's talking about. All we hear about is Harden, AD, even Steph, and Steph's not even – Steph played 5 games this year, 4 or 5 games. Nobody's talking about Kawhi Leonard. I think he has an advantage of being rested. Look, the Lakers, LeBron's rested. They're all rested. They're probably practicing out in L.A. somewhere, I think a lot of teams are doing. I think a lot of teams are getting some scrimmages in on the under, but I think the Clippers – They have a big time advantage. And I also say don't sleep on the Raptors because they were banged up as well. And the Raptors, I thought they would fold this year. They're tough, man. Like, they're going to be a tough out. I don't think they'll win it, but Van Vliet can play. Siakam's a baller. OG Anunoby's healthy. Gasol is now healthy. Raptors, I think, can get an advantage too, man, because I think they're going to be a tough out when they're rested because Nick Nurse can coach. Nick Nurse is a top three, top five coach to me in the league.
Yeah, I think you also kind of want to look at the great defensive teams because maybe that's a little bit more projectable in these circumstances.
Shooting's a little like, dudes are going to be out of rhythm.
Yeah,
but you can always defend.
Raptors are a good defensive team. Milwaukee can be a good defensive team. I just don't know. Miami Heat is sneaky.
Oh, God.
They're sneaky.
I cannot believe this.
Dude.
Big
Bonte saw Jimmy's Instagram just posting at 3 a.m. workouts. He's just like,
it's Tyler Harrell dating that model, man. I'm like, look at the rookie.
What's with the dreads? You're cool.
I think he cut those off. He couldn't do that.
That was a one day thing.
Yeah, it was a one day thing.
I mean, Jeremy Lin got it, but he got approval apparently. So yeah, you know,
Jeremy Lin.
He got approval.
Shout out to Beijing Ducks.
Who do you go to for approval?
He got it from I forget who he got approval from. I mean, it was obviously a black dude. It wasn't like another Asian dude or a white dude. So I assume that's why
he gave him approval.
Yeah, like I don't think me giving him approval would have helped him
NBA
much.
NBA World Champ Jeremy Lin.
Yeah. his Kenyon Martin not happy about it. And then he wrote a Players Tribune article. First sentence, I have dreads now. So anyway, let's not get into it too much. But I think that's all. You like the Clippers. Sam and I kind of agree. It's probably good for the Lakers too.
I just want basketball back. We need something. And by the way, real quick, I know we got to get out of here, but now is the time for the NBA to shift its schedule with baseball. Just, I don't know what the hell baseball is doing. NBA now can start in late December. You only run into football for 1 month. You go through this. The NBA could dominate summertime. That would be so – when we're looking for something to watch in the summertime, the NBA can take over June, July, and August. This may be a blessing in disguise for the NBA to start later in the year and then finish later in the year to where they don't really interfere with football when it comes to ratings. Because starting in mid-October, it just seems early. You know what I'm saying? Even though we love basketball, it's like, man, all right, you still got football in October, November, December. You're paying attention to basketball, but –
My only question is, okay, so everyone vacations in the summer. Everyone kind of, you know, goes on trips. If you miss a week of the Giants, you're not going to be that mad that you missed like a series against the Rockies and whoever, even if they're good. I don't know how it plays if you have like the NBA finals going in August. That's just rough on families. That's my theory. I think it's a lot better when it's like they own springtime. March Madness ends. All anyone cares about is the NBA because baseball hasn't really started. It's a little rough to have everything going, like have like the serious part of your season during the months that everyone's with their family.
I guess it depends on the fan base, right? If you're the Phoenix Suns and you're out of it, they're like, you know what? I could spend a week in Bali or something and then come back and, you know, maybe catch some of the playoff games early in the morning out there in Bali. But if your team's in it, yeah, you may have to postpone that vacation.
Bali sounds good right now. I thought of it this way, and I think maybe we'll...
Places we're not going for 2 years.
Yeah. although it might be safer in Bali than it is. Actually, California's okay. San Francisco. I think there's a shot that we get all the sports back at the same time, and I think that's probably like the best thing I can look forward to is that we might get, you know, Western Conference overload. It's gonna be first week of football, you know, NBA finals, baseball's back, you're just gonna get all the big three, and it's gonna be heaven. Masters, they're supposed to have it at Harding, right? They're supposed to have it here this year.
It's the PGA,
I mean, I'm not a golf guy, but at this point, fuck it. Even golf courses are open, actually. So
I watched Tiger Woods and them on Sunday.
I mean, they should be open. That's like you could socially distance in golf.
Yeah,
right.
Why are you up on someone during golf? Like you shouldn't be 2 feet away from them.
Right.
So I think we've got some good. That's why the stock markets are up, boys. So, well, sports will all be back by October. That's what we'll end the podcast with. All right, Bonte, we appreciate you, man.
Appreciate it as always.
Hey, Andy, Sam, always fun, man. Thanks for inviting me. Ben Cruz, what up, baby?